Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. Amen, amen, amen. Starting all over. It doesn't make a difference what you've gone through in your life. Amen. God does allow new beginnings. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we thank you for taking the time out to join us at this time. Amen. For those of you who are listening for the first time, if you're listening by internet, if you would like to call in, we are interactive. Interactive. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to call in, ask a question, or if the speaker opens up the microphone and asks for questions, you have an opportunity to respond or become a silent listener. And then we just offer that opportunity so that we can interact verbally as well as visually. We also are on Zoom. If you would like to join the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. Let me say that again. I might have said that a little bit too fast. 505-563-6808. Amen. And once you dial in, the pass for that is LM23. That's Psalm 23 without the S. And you can be connected on Zoom. Amen. Also, we'd like to let you know that at the end of this podcast, if you would like to listen to this message again, you can go into Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again. Go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. And you can pull up this message, share it with a friend. Amen. Share the word with a friend. If you want to do anything good, amen. Share the word with someone and be a blessing. Amen. The word of God is alive and it is active. Amen. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. If you want to be a blessing to someone, share the word of God. Amen. You never know what anyone is going through or what they may have on their mind at that time, but it's always good to share a word with a friend or even those that you don't know. For those who are tuning in, we'd like to let you know that we are in Cleveland this evening. Amen. We have a first-time speaker, Pastor Kent Wise from out of Cleveland, Ohio. He's coming on for the first time, and he will be speaking to you from Proverbs 28. Amen. I can't believe how fast we've gone through Proverbs. Amen. Three more weeks, and we will be pleading Proverbs. Amen. And we call it the Book of Wisdom. The Book of Wisdom. Amen. The Book of Wisdom. I'm getting a message on Zoom saying that it's 5:07. Pastor Miles. Pastor Miles, what are you saying?
Proverbs. Isn't it 28.
Let me get it correct. Pastor Wise, you are doing 28 or 29? I thought it was 28. Pastor Wise? Okay, you're not connected to us at this time. Amen. He's coming on again for the first time. I was speaking with him earlier, and I could hear him clearly, and we are not connected at this point in time. Amen. I believe it's Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Amen. If you go into your archives, and, you know, it's just, it's Proverbs 29. You are right, Pastor Miles. I'm looking at my text that I sent out. It's Proverbs 29. So, Pastor Wise, are you there? Pastor Wise, are you there? I know he was working on his, camera, and then we lost him. But again, we do thank you all for tuning in and being a part of this hour. I did ask him, Pastor Wise, if he had a problem with
me. I'm here.
Okay, you are there.
Can you
okay,
hear me
good.
Yes, I'm
here.
Amen.
Yes. So I don't know. We are right now. We are on Proverbs 29, and this is Pastor Kent Wise from out of Cleveland, Ohio, a man that I believe that loves the Lord, not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. Amen. So we're going to greet him in the name of Jesus and allow him to go forth as he sees. Amen. Pastor Wise.
God bless you, and thank you, Dr. Clay, Mr. Suzette, and Brother Miles. It's a blessing to be here. So God bless you. What a great proverb, Proverb 29, awesome proverb. And we're just going to share, and like you alluded to earlier, make it very interactive. I have three outlines, and then after each outline, we'll open it up for questions or comments. But just to go over the outlines that I have, this proverb is broken up into three outlines. The first one is, and they're easy to remember. The first one is citizenship, where they're going to all begin with a C.
Citizenship
and accountability, that's verses 1 through 4. The second outline will be character, for God knows we need character, and respect for others, verses 5 through 11. And then finally, conduct, the last two, conduct for self and family, verses 12 through 26. So we're going to jump in it right away, because I believe the first verse is really, really powerful, and it reads, he that being reproved hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, that's a really key verse there. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that, you know, God gives people a chance to be born again, to be saved. You said it earlier, Dr. John, the word is going out. People, they can hear, especially in this country, it's really no excuse for a person not, there's churches almost on every corner, and there's ministers everywhere. We're blessed to have a great, not just social media outlet, but television, radio, and shows like just the internet, where people can hear the gospel. Many times, that neck is hardened. People's heart is turned away from God. And we pray that it doesn't, because here's why. You know, you see, without remedy, and I say this soberly, that when a person leaves this earth and dies without Jesus Christ, they're lost. And so God gives that accountability to every human being. I believe every human being, they would know. They know, as it says that in Romans, that there's God, that there's a God. And they may not understand it. They may need to hear the gospel, but they know. And then many times people hear the gospel, but they turn their hearts away from God. Hearts are parted from God. And then it also talks about just citizenship, the righteous. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. He's talking about citizenship, this next three verses, just about how the king by judgment establishes the land. And so, you know, during this time they had kings, but they didn't really have the democratic system the way that we have it right now. But they had kings and rulers in authority, and they should rule right. And even we're heading into a political system right now, political season, where there are a lot of elections coming. It would be good if some politicians, those who are seeking office, judges and throughout the land, read some of this proverbs, because God holds us accountable. I believe if people really knew that, those running for office, I think those numbers would dwindle down. People would say, I bow out. I'm not running now. And I'm running for other reasons. But if they knew that God was going to hold them accountable to the laws that they passed, the things that they're doing, we see it in our society, where laws are being passed that are just wicked laws, laws that are not of God. And it's going on all the time. And so not going into detail, but just all of us see what's going on in our society. And I live in a community where it's very open to a lot of open things that are not of God. And people are for those things. But it's just so important that, once again, in this outline, that citizenship and accountability is there. And it's all based on the word of God. And what I want to do is turn to another scripture in Proverbs, because the Proverbs is just so rich in just wisdom. You said the word wisdom is there. And it can be applicable in every area of our lives, not just as a Christian, but it could be applicable in our business, of course, in our ministry, in our careers, in the way we have handle our relationships. And in Proverbs 4, verse 20, and I believe this is really, you know, kind of tying in a little bit with not hardening your heart. And even Christians, God can tell a person to do something, And I've been there before where I just didn't obey the Lord at certain times. And my heart got hardened. But I got whipped into shape. I don't learn those lessons too many times. I learn pretty quickly when I do those things. But in Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And when that's translated into Hebrew, forces or borders. And so I believe what God is saying through the Holy Spirit is that attend to my words. My words are important. You know, I like the word attend. In other words, put my words first. For example, if I had a very important appointment to see my banker or my doctor, and it was at 3 p.m. on Thursday. Well, if someone called me and said, "What can you do? Can you come over to my house at 3 p.m. on Thursday?" Well, I would like to, but I need to attend to this business first. This business is more important. I'll come over after I leave my banker or my doctor, but I need to attend to this business first. This is an important business. And I truly believe God wants us to attend to his words, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then our ear into his sayings. You know, what does God have to say? What is God saying? You know, God is speaking all the time. But what is God saying? But we have to put his word first. And to those who are not believers, I believe they know that there's a God, and many times they shut it out. In the age that we live in right now, we're so inundated with social media and so many other things that people don't want to be still. They got to have something going on all the time with their social media, something in their ears, whatever it is, AirPod, iPod, whatever it is. Because I think when they're silent and they're quiet, that small, still voice is speaking to them, holding them accountable. "What are you going to do with my son? You know, there's a God. What are you going to do?" And I think people try to block that out. So what they can many times do is harden, it says their neck, but just harden. "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." No, I don't want to hear it. But for those who may be listening, actually, this is the best thing you can hear. This is the good news. This is really the best thing you can hear, is that God loves you, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to accept him before it's eternally too late. You know, and the second part of these verses is to the king. Those that are in judgment. Do right. You know, do what is right, because God's going to hold you accountable. Many times people think, "I'm in a certain position. No one can touch me. I'm in this position." But I said, there's one that can, that will judge. And there's no one higher than him. And so it's just good to do the right thing. So I'm just going to stop there for any questions or comments during that first outline.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The mic's all open if you have any questions. Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to that second one, which is character and respect for others.
You're breaking up just a little. You're coming in and then you're breaking out. Your voice is on some of your words.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize for that. Hopefully this is better on my AirPods.
Okay.
So hopefully this is better. Is that better?
Those on Zoom, can you hear? What's best, Miles? Are you able to hear clearly?
I can hear him. I mean, he's coming in distorted, but I can decipher.
Okay.
And I'm on Zoom.
I'm on my phone. I just called in. So hopefully I don't know what's going on with my computer. You know, I'm all set up. We checked in early.
I'll get on my phone. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. We're 30 seconds.
Well, we got this thing. When the second outline is character and respect for others, verses 5 through 11. And it just talks about, you know, without getting into detail, because there's some other scriptures that I want to share. Verse 7 is really important. It says, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. You know, and God is very concerned about the poor. And, you know, it says that he that does right by the poor is done to the Lord who gives to the poor. So, you know, God is concerned about the poor, those who can't help themselves. But I believe more importantly, when he's talking about respect for others, he's talking about just love. And so a scripture I wanted to share was from the New Testament, Jesus speaking, because even, you know, we're reading these Proverbs, Jesus is the one who, he is God in flesh, so he is the ultimate in wisdom. And when he spoke, I believe he probably illuminated these Proverbs more than anyone, because he just went into detail. And so in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, very familiar scripture, which is, he says, this is Master, which is the great commandment in the law. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you look at that and you contrast that to those scriptures in Proverbs 29, it's talking about how we treat others. And God, you know, it's not just how we treat our brother and sister in Christ, which is very important. We're supposed to treat. But I believe he means all men. Because if you look at these verses, he's given instruction or wisdom. Some of this kind of comical a little bit. You know, as far as about a wicked man, a scornful man, a bloodthirsty man, or a person that's raging, or don't speak loud to your neighbor. But basically, he is saying, love your neighbor, but treat people the way you should be treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's simple. That's simple. How would I want to be treated? Would I want to be disrespected? Would I want to be shown to be prejudicial towards me or racist towards me? I wouldn't want that, so I shouldn't do it to others. I wouldn't want to cheat people. I wouldn't want to do that. How would I want? But he's talking about that character. And character is so important because I believe a lot of, in our society, especially in our Western culture society, and we put a great emphasis on titles. And there's nothing wrong with titles. I mean, we work hard for our titles. I know I do, and I did. But titles and educational system doesn't teach character. Character is something that's learned from the Bible. And so how we treat our fellow man. And so he gives these verses, and Mark chapter 12, verse 30 does the same thing. But I want to go to another scripture, and these are all in line with the Proverbs, and that's in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm not moving too fast, and I do apologize. I'm in and out. Hopefully a person can get the gist of it, and well, I know they can. The Holy Spirit will get it over to them, and we're going to get this. We got the victory. But Romans 13, beginning at verse 9, and you know these are some of the Ten Commandments that he's talking about. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, but also to us as well as Christians, it says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal." I should not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's one that, you know, many times we've been taught as a kid. But look at verse 10. I think this is really, really important and powerful. Love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, I told for a second because Jesus said, a new commandment have I given you. Of course, we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, strength, and soul, and might. The beloved neighbor is thyself. And love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. In other words, I don't want to do you wrong consciously, you know, not knowingly. because I don't want to work ill towards you. You know, as a pastor, many times this can come across. You know, I've had people who say, you know what, I want to join your church because I like the way you preach. But, and I said, what church did you go to? And they said, a certain church. I said, well, I know that pastor. I know that pastor, and he needs you there. They need you there. They need more people there. And if they ever insist, I would say, well, let me call your pastor first. Well, that's okay. But then sometimes I'll call it, and I'll call the pastor and say, such want to join that church, but I'm not feeling too good about this. And they may say, well, we really need that person. And what it is I don't want to work no ill towards that pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They need you there. They need you there. We can make it fine, but I don't want to work ill towards my neighbor. And I've had other instances. You know, I like to share examples. I had a good friend of mine who went to another church, and the church he went to, I will never say who this pastor is. This pastor kind of belittled me and said something to me that was, you know, not Christian-like. And I didn't say anything back to him. But, you know, my friend went to that church, and there was a time I wanted to tell my friend, hey, guess what? You know, guess what that person did to me? But then something on the inside said, no. No, don't do that. Well, why? I said, well, my friend could say, well, what kind of pastor do we have? He's treating people like this. You know, I put that in God's hands. Why? Because that person, if they continue to do that, they're gonna have a downfall anyway. But see, I don't want to contribute to that. Love working no ill. And I believe it's simple concept but hard to do when we read Proverbs 29, some of those commandments and some of the commandments in the Old Testament. But I believe it's simple to do but hard to exercise because you still have to deal with people. And there's some people that are not lovable. You know, some people you don't like. But he wants us to not work ill towards them. Because why? Our character, you may have to go back and witness to them one day.
Mm-hmm.
If you work ill towards them, or if you've had a bad attitude towards them, or you curse them out, you know, they won't receive from you. And they'll spread that. So, you know, it works no ill towards his neighbor. And God wants us to walk in character. To walk in not just the power of the Holy Spirit, but to treat people with respect, honor, and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And we stand before the Lord, because when he's talking about this judgment, see, there's a judgment for the Christian. Now, it's not the great white throne judgment. I don't know if those who are listening what that is. This is a whole other teaching. But that's for the unbeliever. But for us as believers, there's a judgment which is for rewards at the seat of Christ, where Christ is going to give our rewards. And First Corinthians 3, it talks about those rewards really being based on character and motive and intent. It really wasn't based on how big something was, because the works are going to the fire. And it'll burn. Some of it will come out silver, gold, and some of it will be just stubble and hay for the person to be saved because of Christ. But I believe it's the motive and intent.
When we do something for the
Lord, do we do it to be seen?
Do we do it for
applause for other people or the accolades of other people? Or do we do it just for the Lord?
That's part of our character.
And how do we treat others? To others, you know, I think it's really. My prayer is like, Lord,
let me love others
and respect others more so than using me in a ministerial form, because the way I treat them is going to be much longer effect than if I preached this dynamic sermon to them and was just so anointed. But then I was a jerk to them. They're going to remember that I was a jerk more so than this dynamic sermon. Now God can use that dynamic sermon. But that character and respect for others, and
I believe that's
so important. So in that second outline of Proverbs, verses 5 through 11, it just talks about You know, it says what the wise man would do and what a fool would do and all of that, you know. But no, a person who just who walk in the Holy Spirit and walk in humility and in love. It doesn't mean that you're going to always like people or put them with their foolishness. I've always said this. If a person keeps acting a fool, because he's calling them a fool, and if they keep acting like a jerk, they're gonna have a downfall anyway. They're gonna go down. It's just pride goes before a fall. I just don't want to contribute to it because they don't need me to contribute to it. It's gonna happen anyway. So that respect for others. So I'm opening up for questions or comments. I'm sure there's some comments as well.
Hey man, if there are any questions or comments. The mics are open once again. We are Pastor Wise from out of Cleveland, first-time speaker. Amen. If you have a question for him or you'd like to make a comment, your mics are open.
Amen. That's what we'll go through. Wise outlines. This is really, they're all important, but I believe this one has a lot in it. And this is for conduct for self and family. So this is getting a little bit, you know, ourselves. This one is looking inwardly. The first two looked a little bit outwardly, you know, being good citizenship, how we treat others. But this one is more of a self-reflective one. One that when God is speaking, it talks about you know, the poor and the king and all of that. But I'm going to look at verse, let's go to verse 17. And it says, correct thy son to give thee rest, to give thee light unto thy soul. But there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When we look at this one, we're looking at our family now. And I believe in our society, one of the greatest travesties that's happening, and I believe many of us see it with our generation, especially a generation younger than us, is that the correction has not been there. I'm sure we talked about it in previous lessons in the Proverbs about training up a child. That's in Proverbs 22, to train up a child. So train. So, these are things that God is not really suggesting to us. He's not saying, well, you know what, if you got time, I know your busy schedule, I know you work that job, I know you're doing this, and I know you're doing all of these things, you got activities and all of that, but when you have time, you know, train up your child. When you can make time, I believe that he's saying, you know, train him up, correct thy son. He'll give you rest. You know, not only as a pastor, but I have a mentoring program, and I have some other things I do with in the community. And if I had a $100 bill for every mother, mostly mother and father, mostly mothers, who children are giving them hard times, and one of the reasons when I sit and talk with them, whether it's through counseling or praying, it's because of a lack of discipline. Because I believe if you don't train up a child or correct your son or daughter when they're wrong, it opens the door for Satan to come in and give them an alternative lifestyle or alternative choice to make when you're not teaching them the ways of the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, he said to teach your children that they may teach their children, that they may teach their children the ways of the Lord.
Right.
And let them know the God.
You know,
young man, you just shot somebody. You just killed somebody. Don't you have a conscience? There's a God.
And
I have a first cousin that's a detective, and he'll tell me a lot of times in some of these shootings, especially gang members, young people, they'll shoot someone and show no remorse. I mean, you just took a physical life. I mean, it wasn't in self-defense. There should be some remorse. And many times, pretty much 90%, if not more of the times,
It's a broken home with no correction there. Sometimes you have some children who are just go out wayward, but a lot of times it's these children who were not corrected, who were not taught the ways of the Lord. And our society, we're paying the cost for it. I believe God's going to turn it around. I'm a man of faith. I know it's going to turn around because, see, God always wins. The devil never wins. You know, the devil's a loser. You know, it may seem like he's a winner, but now that chump's a loser, and he knows it. And so, but he's after the souls. Many times, even a teenager, unfortunately, when they lose their life, they're at the age of accountability. You'll get a pass because you're 18. Your path, you should have known. Once again, he that being reproved hardeneth his neck, to suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, remedy, there's no hope. It wasn't because God didn't give you hope. God did all he could. He said, Jesus, he watched his son die on the cross. It's like, what else could he have done? But that person said, die, I don't need that. I'm good. I don't need God. I don't need this Jesus thing. I'm good, you know. You got people say it on one end, and you got some people say, well, I got enough money, I got a good career, I got a nice home, I don't need Jesus, that stuff. But suddenly, and it only has to happen suddenly, because it's appointed for man to die. You only one die once. And I say this in my sermons many times. I say the death rate is 100%. Nobody here on this planet right now, that you can look up to and say, hey, man, you're an old guy, man, how old are you? I'm 485 years old, man. I was born at 16. So we're coming here. We're leaving here. And so God has given us a chance through love in his son, Jesus Christ. But he's also putting on us that accountability to raise our children. And you know what? Sometimes even the righteous don't raise their children right. You know, how are you giving your children, a 7-year-old, the option of whether they want to come to church or not? You don't have that option. Now, maybe once you get, 21 or something, but not at 7. Get up. You need to hear this, because on the inside of you, you have a spirit. You still need to hear the word of God. And if I train you, it may not be right away, but somewhere down the line, you're going to be like, oh, I remember this. I remember this. So when I'm out in the club somewhere getting high and it's a bad situation, I remember they said, don't go do this. I'm not going to do this again. You know, I'm praying right now. Lord, let me make it through this. Because you were brought up as a child. And you may stray, but you'll come back to it. But if you correct your son, man, you'll get some rest. Not that you're going to, you don't mean sleep, but you don't have to go through the heartache. In the song, they talk about a mother. There's nothing worse than breaking a mother's heart. That's a bad thing. So, but when you correct him and bring him up, he'll give you delight into your soul. And with the minute that we have the man, I'm going to talk share on verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, it really reads where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, when there's no word, when there's no word of God in our lives, we cast off restraint. Well, you might as well. You're born a male. You might as well be a female because there's no restraint. You can do this. You can pass laws that are ungodly because there's no restraint. And when there's no restraint, you ever try to restrain like a child or something? When a child is unruly, you have to restrain them. Or if they're in the school classroom, they're going to do damage to other kids. But if you don't restrain them, well, then they're going to do some damage. Well, in other words, you were not revelation, but somebody had to restrain them. So when there's no word of God, there's no restraint. In other words, anything goes. Hey, sarah, sarah, sarah. And so, and even that word vision in the Hebrew is the word hazon, H-A-Z-O-N, which means revelation. It just means the word of God. In other words, they cast off restraint. Things don't happen the way that even in our personal lives. You know, when there's not a vision for ourselves, there's not a vision for our lives. You know, I was talking to a gentleman. He's much older than I was, and he's in his 70s. And he was like, "Well, I think I'm done. I said, well, if you're not dead, you're not done. You know, you have to get a vision. You know, stay back in the Word of God. God has a work, some more work for your life. Keep your vision alive. Keep it going. Because He has a plan for our life. So Jeremiah talks about that purpose and plan for our life. But when there's no revelation, you say, well, I don't see myself living past 25. Man, when I was 15 years old, I had a whole lot of life ahead of me. I wanted to play football in the NFL. I wanted to go to college. You know, I wanted to have girlfriends. You know, not that it was all the most moral thing, but in other words, there was life ahead of me. I wasn't 16 saying, I don't know if I can make it to 25. And the reason I say that, I've had a lot of young men say to me, I don't think I'm going to make it out of my 20s. And the reason they say that,
yeah,
there's no revelation. And there's no word of God in their life.
No, he was
thrown off.
Meeting, man.
Vision.
No guys upstairs, perish, man.
Happy as he. That revelation is really just the word of God. It's just the word of God. And I think when we talked about earlier in that Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. It's there for you. It's life for your flesh. It's healing for your body. And I just want to share something. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. I think we have a few more. How we read the Old Testament. Now, remember, when Jesus was speaking, the New Testament isn't written yet. So he's speaking really from the Old Testament. And Jesus is wisdom. He is wisdom. And so I believe, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit put all this into Solomon. So Jesus is the wisdom. And we look at John 15, verse 7. You know, beautiful scripture, the whole chapter. He's talking about the vine, the husbandman, the branch, and all of those things. Verse 7, John, the New Testament, chapter 15, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, the words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it should be done unto you. If you abide in me, and the words abide in you, you should ask what you will, and it should be done unto you. And I had to break this down a little bit in a couple of parts. Number one, if you abide in me, well, that means if you're a Christian. And so there's some qualifications. I think even in prayer and even in this revelation and in this vision, casting off restraint and just receiving from God. And he says, if you abide in me, and I believe all believers, we fit that one. We fit that qualification. And so we're one-third of the way home now. We're one-third there. If you abide in me. Now let's get to second base now. Ronnie getting to third base, and this is one where I believe where I fell short in the past, and I believe some of God's precious children may fall short in. My words abide in you. Words abide in you. The God's word in
that Proverbs 29. All of those Proverbs is talking about wisdom and the word. See, wisdom is not separate from the word of God. They're intermingled. They're the same.
For my words abide in you. Now, you can say that. Now, you're
on the third base now, because now your prayer life is not going to be just give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Bless me, bless me. Because now your words abide, now his words abide in you. You pray for the lost. You pray for the sick. You pray for the, you pray for those who are backslidden. You pray for those who are going through hard times. And yet you pray for your needs to be met. You know, I believe if you seek the kingdom, that's what he's always done with me. He's already supplied my needs. All things have been just added to me. But if I abide in him, and my words abide in you, I can check that one.
You should ask what you will,
and it should be done unto you.
Well, now,
we're getting there now. We're making some headway because I abide in him. I know that I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, but I got to put the word in my heart now. I got to put it in there because when I put my word in his heart, I know what his will is. I know what his will is. His will is going to be his word.
a parent, if you say don't go outside at 8 o'clock, don't ask me to go outside at 8 o'clock. I've already told you what my word is. I already said, be in at 8. You don't say, Mom and Dad, can I go out at 8? I said, no, be in at 8. That's my word. It abides in you. You know to get your behind in at 8 o'clock. It abides in you because you know what the will is. And you can ask. And here's something that I've said for years, and it's worked for me. I can only share what works for me. And, boy, I've had some challenges in my life. There's some things that I've gone through, but God has always brought me through. Whatever you believe in God for, whatever it is, whether it's healing, finances, for your children, for your marriage, whatever it is, number one, find scriptures. To your situation.
Could you repeat that, Pastor Warren?
If you find whatever you believe in God for, find scriptures that pertain to what you believe in Him for.
Find scriptures. For example, if you believe in
Him for healing, well, Isaiah 53:5 says, by His stripes we are healed. That's His will. 24 says, by His stripes you were healed. Psalm 103:2 says, who forgive all your sins and heal all your diseases. And many times when people say, well, as a pastor, people say, I want to teach people the word so you don't have to ask me for prayer all the time. You can do it yourself. See what God says about that situation. That's His will. And so in our prayer, we say, well, Lord, you said that diseases, I'm healed. I may still feel sick in my body. I don't feel any different. But your word says this. I'm going to trust you at your word.
Find that
scripture. What did God say about that? I mean, nowadays, you can use your cell phone to pick up. You can find scriptures in concordance. But what does God have to say about finances, healing, health, marriage? What does He have to say about the sexual same sex? God has something to say. He said male, female. You don't have to question, well, what did God say? We can read what He said. He could say binary or he, she, and she, whatever. He gave a clear identification of what we should do, what He said about that. But number one, find scriptures. Number two, meditate that scripture.
Your word is in my heart.
Now, I called myself, I talked to my wife, said, what are you doing? I'm eating. So what are you eating? We ate dinner. I thought I'm eating the word. Because it's like physical food is nourishment to my body. The word of God is nourishment to my spirit and to my soul. So if I find a scripture, I eat it. I make it mine. I'm going to read it and meditate and think about it. Because it's for me. I love my fellow man and the next person, but I can't speak for them. But I know me. I need this for me right now. So when I'm going through a hard time, three years ago, I lost
4 siblings
in a 3 year period of time, and 2 unexpected. So I needed all this, you know, the word on comfort. But once I got that word on the inside of me, I was comforted. So I know He's a comforter. I know it because I got the word. It proved that out to me. He's a comforter. And so, but I found, and I meditated on that.
So I would say, find scripture, meditate scripture,
and then number three, speak.
You know, we have a beautiful quote that Jesus said
in Mark 11, whosoever should say unto this mountain, be removed. They said, you have what you can say, Mark 11:22-24. So speak it out. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So speak the word out.
And finally, act on the word.
Act. My work is dead. I have to act on what God said. So if I'm believing Him for health, I have to do my part. You know, if I'm believing Him for health or healing, I have to take my medicine. I'm not on medicine, but I have to work out and eat right and do the things that's proper. I have to do my part. So if I'm believing for finances, I can't go blow my money at the casino. You know, I have to do my part. You know, I meditated the word, spoke the word, and found the scriptures. I have to do my part, too. That's where that obedience comes in. But those keys there have kept me.
They're wisdom.
The wisdom keys. They're all them proverbs. You pointed out all of them. They all kind of these proverbs. They build off of each other and they intermingle. They're almost one and the same, and it all says the one thing, one common thing. And Dr. John, you so eloquently said that earlier. Wisdom.
And if you're born again, if you're born again believing in Jesus Christ,
you have that wisdom on the inside of you.
Because you have the Holy Spirit.
And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's in you.
Yeah. He's in you.
I know when I was training our deacons on how to pray, and I said this out of love. You know, we had a deacon, a couple of deacons that came. And then we got them deacons, and they were praying how they used to hear. They were praying like, Lord, stop by here. I said, don't pray that no more. I said, what do you mean, Pastor? So how can you stop by here when he's already in you?
He's not gonna stop by.
He's in you. It's just like if I'm sitting at your house, Dr. John, and we're sitting in your office talking, and we're talking about the Lord and having fellowship, and then you, Pastor Miles, and somewhere I'm sitting in the living room, we're talking, drinking coffee. And someone says, can Kent come over? Well, Kent's already here. Stop by here, Kent. It wouldn't make any sense for me to stop by if I'm already there. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the believer, greater is he
that is in me than he that is in the world.
God is already in a computer, 2022 term, downloaded this wisdom in us. But we have to get it out by studying his word. It's there. But we have to study it. And when I say it's there, the Holy Spirit is there. Let me correct that. The Holy Spirit is there, and it'll help you. Jesus said it will guide you into all truth. It'll guide you into what you need. So when you read these Proverbs, when you see Proverbs 29 and 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And happy for he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I don't think he meant the Ten Commandments law. He meant the word. The same way he gave to Joshua, this book of the law, the law, the word should not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate upon it day and night, that you may do according to all that is written therein. And so you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. But we can't improve our heart and be so busy that we can't take time out for the word. And he doesn't require much. I mean, I don't think none of us can do it 24 hours, 7 days a week. Look, I tell people, I suggest 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day, you know, even if it's one scripture. Challenge yourself with one scripture. But put it on the inside and keep building from there. And then you'll have that revelation and you won't cast off restraint. Not saying that you won't be perfect because you're going to make a mistake, you know that. But you're going to get up and keep going. You won't fall back and fall short of what God has for you. Because he has great things for you in this life. And he wants to do great things through us. When I say great, you know, you may never get your name on lights and television and across the world. But, you know, you'll be great to that one person you minister to.
The Lord said that to me years ago.
Because, you know, we're all in ministry, and sometimes it's only natural for a preacher to want to have a platform. I mean, it would be unnatural for me not the one to have a platform that people to preach to. But when you preach to one person and you tell one person about Jesus or you help one person, you know what? You were great to them.
You were Jesus to them. Because you were
God said to do, and they received from you. They necessarily didn't receive from someone who has this big platform and big name. Nothing wrong with that. But they received from you. You were great to them.
So God wants to do these things through us.
And this Proverbs, this great Proverbs 29, as you can see as we're wrapping up, those outlines again, the verses 1 through 4, citizenship and accountability. And well, everybody on this planet is accountable to God. And we as believers thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have said it 1,000 times. But I wouldn't want to stand before God without Jesus. You know, when people say, when I stand before God, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. No, you're not. Amen. You're not going to do that. Amen.
you're going to fall on your knees and say, Lord, give me another chance, but it'll be too late. And so we have that citizenship and accountability. Second, we have that character, verses 5-11, to treat our neighbors right, to treat our fellow man right, and to respect others. But also, let me go back in that he's talking to rulers, which today would be, we don't have kings, at least not in America, it would be presidents, politicians, senators, governors, judges, and all of those things. And there's a lot that are corrupt. I don't know who they are personally, but they get in. You know, if you think about it, a person would pay more money for a position. They'll spend more money out of pocket to get a political position. They'll spend $200,000 out of their pocket to get a position that pay $100,000 a year. So it's something else that they want. And sometimes they'll be corrupt. But if they knew that God was going to hold you accountable, you know, we probably have four people on the ballot right now because most of them would be scared. You know, they would drop off real quickly. But we talked about character and respect for others. And then finally, conduct for the self and for the family, knowing that where there's a vision, where there's a word of God, and where there's a word of God, whether it's collectively or personally, when there's a word of God for our life, we throw off restraint, not just moral restraint, but now, you know what, God, I'm not going to limit you what you can do in my life. I'm not going to put a limit on that because, you know, people put a limit because of their age. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50. What does that have to do with anything? I'm 60, I'm 70. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? You know, take the limits off and let God use you. And so having that vision for your life and having the word of God literally on the inside of us. And so we're in there. And thank you again, Dr. John, for having me on. It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you, Brother Miles, for being on and whoever else may have joined in. Sister Suzanne, thank you. God bless you. And I will open this last few minutes up for any questions or either comments.
Amen. As we come to a close, our mics are open. Pastor Wise, I'd really like to apologize publicly to you because this is your first time on, and I should have did a trial run. Again, you know, this is the first time. Some of the words that you were saying, you were going in and out a lot. When you listen to the archives, you'll hear what I'm talking about. But you had a lot of meat, a lot of good stuff, you know, that you brought out. And again, some of the things that, you know, when you're getting ready to say something, I don't know if you were turning your face away from your microphone piece or what, but it was going in and out.
Well,
so when you listen to the archive,
you know what I could do? I can re-record this.
Pardon?
And send you a better version. I can re-record this and send you a better version if you want me to do that.
Yeah, no, all this is being recorded. You know, we have a lot of people on the line that are listening. And, again, I was having a hard – it was going in and out for me, you know, and I received text saying that, you know, it was, you know, going in and out. You know, so people are getting the message. Those who know the word, who's grounded and rooted, you know, I'm pretty sure they were able to decipher. But those who may be new – Christ, you know, it'd be hard for them to pick it up. But I know that there was a lot of good, you know, it was a good message, and it was a very, very good message, and we definitely like to invite you again. But, I'll, you know, next time I'd like to do a trial run. So, again, this
let's
is recorded. When you go into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio and the type in We Can Begin Again, you'll see what I'm referring to, so that next time that you speak, you'll understand what I was talking about in terms of the clarity. And I'm sorry it takes so long for that. Are any comments before we come to a close?
I would just like to say good job, my brother. I heard you. You brought something back to my remembrance that I said time again. I mean, the way I would say it was, you said scripture. I would say I'll find what scripture says and do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for bringing that back to my remembrance. You just gave me words of encouragement once again. Whatever the next storm comes. I'm looking forward to hearing from you again.
Stop
that. Are there any mics on the mic? Okay, I'm getting a feedback. Anyone on the phone that would like to make a comment? Your mic is open. Amen. One of the things that in closing I would like to comment is, you know, you talked about in terms of our children and specifically when they were talking about in terms of, you know, with the character, with children don't have the word that you will anything goes, and that is so true. When you plant the word in a child or in your child, you know, they go the way. So I thought that was prevalent in these days and times, especially with the kids that we are dealing with now. Put the word on it, as Pastor Miles had stated. We, Pastor Wise, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless Brother John, his family, his home, his ministry, Lord. Everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. We speak healing, prosperity, health, Lord, according to your word, Lord, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the increase in this ministry, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you. Until next week.
I can be